This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, happy Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Homeroom. What a wonderful weekend. Had a nice time to kick back, try to, you know, avoid, at least for me, Johnny and Jess, I'm really taking seriously this idea of limiting my exposure to news, to social media feeds, to scrolling.
To toxic waste.
Yeah. You know, and well, because I used to make this kind of like, well, I need to stay informed. And it's not informing me anymore. It's really sucking out my happiness, my passion. It is really, really draining. So it's not consuming news. It's actually participating in a practice that is bringing me down. And I was like, I just can't do that anymore. So welcome to Homeroom, though, you two. What's up in your worlds, Johnny?
Well, hey, Tim, man, I'm excited. You know, Homeroom, love to start the week off with you and Jess and all of our listeners, whether you're listening on Monday morning or you grab this podcast later in the week. Happy to be here with you. It's the last week of February. Like how I say that, February.
You gotta.
I'm one of the worst spellers that ever taught. So I gotta sometimes phonetically remind myself how to spell things. But no, it's a great week. Had some awesome stuff last week. We had, you know, amazing, you know, Four Nations Cup and professional hockey, lots of great sports. You know, if you listen to free throws and face-offs, you heard Wisconsin listeners Jimmy Kay talk about all of the amazing winter sports that are headed into playoffs or had playoffs this weekend. So lots of cool stuff happening there. And Tim, man, I love hearing you talk about being a regulated dude. and that self-awareness that is so necessary, not only in this work we do for Busted Pencils, but in being teachers, especially social studies teachers or working in, you know, educational settings. It is our job to be regulated adults for the young people that we're around and for the other adults we're around and for ourselves and for our families. So love hearing that self-awareness right now. And it's a good pitch. You got to have a good balance. I think a few weeks ago on Homeroom, I talked about, you know, we're going to dance. We're going to bring joy into this. We're going to sing about dark times in dark times. And you know, I am pretty balanced right now. So I am keeping up with the things that are happening. And I feel like it's a gift that maybe I have because I've spent so much of my life in dysregulated settings, especially as a, you know, urban teacher, that navigating the chaos is sort of one of our like fortes. So I feel like we're in the mess. We're constantly hearing a lot of worry and a lot of pain and a lot of uncertainty from teachers. So teachers out there from their students, they're communicating that their students are quite dysregulated in that moment. Not just because spring is around the corner, but because there's a lot of stuff happening that has made the spaces where children learn in our country a battleground for particular politics. So yeah, we'll take a break from that today, Tim, but take a deep breath, find that regulation.
But it was good. It was good of you, you know, to point it out. We're not unaware. And
no, we're keeping up and we'll come back to it.
Yeah. And reminding, yes, teachers, faculty, students, we know about the defunding and all of that. We're getting it and we're going to watch it. But today, you know, let's try a little bit of regulation. Jess, how you doing?
You know, I am also trying to take to heart that mentality of we ourselves need to be the regulated ones. And so we need to disconnect just a little bit from the fire hose of news and developments and cruelty, frankly. So, you know, did the same thing this weekend. Set the phone aside, turn off the notifications from all the news sites so that, you know, there can be a little bit of regulation happening in order that when we come back together at the start of the week, there's actually an ability to tune in rather than just this continual level of trending towards exhaustion. So with that in mind, let's turn to some trending educational news, shall we?
I was going to say, what you got for us, Jess?
Well, as I said, we're not going to look at today some of the funding concerns. Instead, we're going to look at truly trending educational news. So this is coming from AZ Big Media. Prequel and two-hour learning launch AI-powered schools in Arizona. Arizona families are about to experience the future of education firsthand. Prequel, a groundbreaking life skills education company, has partnered with 2-Hour Learning, an AI-driven personalized learning platform, to launch two revolutionary schools designed to reshape how students learn, thrive, and prepare for the real world. With a focus on AI-powered academics and real-world skill development, these schools offer a bold alternative to traditional education, ensuring students don't just memorize facts, but master the skills they need to succeed in the 21st century. Our mission is to redefine education by combining AI personalized learning with real world experience, says Ivy Zhu, CEO of Prequel. This isn't about catching up. It's about creating a generation of leaders, creators, and problem solvers who can think independently, build boldly, and thrive in a world driven by AI. Traditional education has left too many students behind. Nationally, 65% of fourth graders are not proficient in reading, and the average high school graduate reads at a third grade level. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Meanwhile, classrooms force students to advance without mastering fundamentals, creating frustration, disengagement, and massive learning gaps. Unbound Academy is about breaking free from outdated classroom models and giving students a flexible, engaging, and result-driven education, said Mackenzie Price, founder of 2-Hour Learning. We're proving that when kids learn at their level and pace, they thrive.
There is so much here. It takes me in lots of directions as I'm hearing you read, Jess, and looking at this, because I got to admit, there are parts where I'm like, yes. And then there are parts of like, what? And then there are things of going, tell me more.
Well, then tell us more. Let's dig into it, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, and so the first thing this makes me think, and you know, just to reveal to our listener, I have been following this story, and particularly the Mackenzie Price, who they're talking about, the founder of 2-Hour Learning. Early on, this got framed as this 2-hour AI school where they learn from a personalized tutor for AI for 2 hours, and then the rest of the school day is spent doing things that interest the kids and engage them. It also then turned into that this was going to try to be a charter, a online charter school that would be available in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania voted it down, so they're not going to use public monies for this in Pennsylvania. That is its also its own discussion in a way, but I really am I'm kind of fascinated with the potential that a model such as this might really be trying to address what our guest Ira Sokol put out, that the history of American public schools is that they were designed to fail kids. And is this an attempt to potentially address the outdated old factory model of education? Academics, grade level, because you're the age and grade, and everybody knows that that's really not the way the brain develops and all of those things. And, you know, some pretty significant research that has been, I would say, you know, quite unanimous or overwhelming, that's the more time kids spend in school, the less engaged they get for each year that they spend in school. That's a frightening statistic that is pretty constant across multiple years of education. So I'm going to take those realities and then start to think about is this truly a legitimate attempt to address those issues? And if so, does it really work? I'm concerned, though, too, and I'm just going to outline this. I'm concerned about the framing in this piece that is, again, 65% of kids are not proficient in reading. And, oh, my God, high schoolers now are only reading at the third grade level. It's that, first of all, that statistic is, I'm absolutely positive, is nonsense and doesn't need to be in there. We also know the proficiency word and what that really means as opposed to grade level. But, you know, I don't want to address this right off the bat, but if this is a really great approach, why use fear and sadness and whoa, the sky is falling to say we've got something here that maybe some kids and some families are going to find really awesome? I don't know, Johnny, that's kind of my quick thoughts around this idea. John, you know, come on. So, John, I know I've been watching your facial expressions throughout my whole little monologue there. So I know you got something for me.
Well, Tim, I think one thing that I try to do is not fall into the dominant paradigm of either or. And what I mean by that is that there are alternative ways of doing school and that there is a traditional way of doing school. It's just, to me, it's oversimplified and non-representative of what's happening in districts around this country. Ideally, and I'm going to come to a term that I know we're politically taking a little break from it, but I think it's okay to introduce here, is when you think about diversity as a core democratic value. Mm. And that valuing diversity has been politicized at a you know, presidential administration level right now. So I know it's like it's a trigger word, right? But the idea of, remember, diversity is a condition of difference upon which everything exists. I mean, even our own human bodies, like, we are, you know, a group of very diverse things interacting in order to create us as humans. Similarly, in a healthy educational ecosystem, let's take a district, there ought to be a number of different ways that schools organize and offer learning opportunities to children. And so I always kind of try not to fall into the either or, is this model, you know, helpful for public education or harmful for public education? Because I think when we apply what we know about children learning, and we also hold space for that, there isn't one best way to do this. Hmm. We're going to benefit by having diverse opportunities for our children to learn in our healthy ecosystems, our learning ecosystems, or our districts in our country, right? So I think there's some exciting stuff here to me. Hmm. Now, I see that. The other thing that I hear you talking about, and we can come back to it probably in a whole nother show,
right?
Because I'm not buying the research that I don't know what you're drawing from here, but that students become less engaged as they go through school. I think I know what you mean. They're less interested in what they're doing. They're more often reporting that they're bored or their time is being wasted or they're being pushed out of school because they're just not feeling like it's relevant to what they need. And I'll push against that because sometimes we need to be pushed or be a little bit uncomfortable to learn. So we can come to like zone of proximal development. Well, schools are doing their job if, you know, a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old is saying, I don't want to go to school or I don't like going to school. I mean, that's a normal, you know, behavior. But if it's prolonged or it's, you know, it moves beyond. So I'm curious about like that way that, yeah, I see it. Michael Fullman's book, The Principle 2.0. But again, I'm going to push on, like, how are we looking at engagement? Because their resistance is engaged.
Yeah.
So young people, this is where I'm just going to throw this curveball in there. I get it. There's a critique of what schools are doing. But the resistance that young people are expressing in response to that is a form of engagement, which leads me to this way we measure things. Right, Tim? So how are we understanding and measuring and observing engagement? Remember, like, we're nerds here, so we're educators talking education. The ed researcher in me is saying, well, hold on. we've really narrowly identified what it means to be an engaged youth, because I see lots of engaged young people who are saying enough with the way we do school. So this is an opportunity. I like this article you both brought today, you know, because to me, it shows us an opportunity we have as educators and district leaders to say, maybe there are some other models of learning that work for some students in our community. Let's look at the research. Let's see how it goes. Unfortunately, Tim, you point to it. A lot of the rationalization or the justifying of, you know, the 2-hour classroom or the 2-hour model here that this article focuses on is framed in market language. And I think that's, like, to be fair, I think that's sadly how we have to argue for space to recognize diversity, that it's going to solve all the problems and that it's, you know, it's a better program. It's competitive. It's competing. And that's antithetical to a healthy district's ecosystem. And I think there are a lot of district leaders out there who look at that balance and say, yeah, we need different ways for our students to learn. Some districts may have a, you know, a charter in their school or a public school that is on a different calendar, like year-round schooling. Some districts say, hey, this works really good for some kids. Some districts have programs where students are doing internships for part of their week. Some students have completely outdoor schools that they can go to in their district. And rather than those compete and utilize those measurement, like you said, proficient readers in a better system, rather than that, it's, hey, learn about how you learn. And here are different ways you can be a student in our district. We have different options. So I feel bad because I feel like for any program to get recognized, they have to argue with the measurements that are dominant in education. Yeah. And so, like, I'll quote Einstein, right? You can't solve the problems that we have in the language that creates them. Yeah. So I really want to push us to say, like, when I read through the lines here, I see an opportunity for diverse learners. I know that's that buzzword we're not supposed to be using right now in this country, but we're going to use it because diverse learners exist, and we want to, in our districts, meet the needs of all of our different learners. Hey, maybe this is a model that meets the needs of some of the learners in our community. So I like these opportunities. I like learning about them. I like that we're discussing them, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Man, again, to a whole lot even there, Johnny. Like you said, this is definitely another show for sure. In fact, I'll just, you know, let you guys know here that to Mackenzie Price, the founder of 2-Hour, I do have an invitation out to her too, to also come on the show so that we can really talk deeply about this. I really do, though, appreciate what you just said, though, Johnny, about, you know, even this potential innovative school that maybe engages more students, the fact that they have to use the old statistics to justify why they're coming to market. Yeah, instead of just pointing out that we're different. Jess asks, though, a really great question here in there. Is there any merit to a 2-hour academic AI tutoring day in a week? That is a question that we don't know yet. I would say that we don't know. It sounds like there's some suggested evidence coming out of some of the early types of ways that the people who are involved with these schools that are doing, but, you know, does AI as a learning tool, and I know a lot of people are going out there, get to the real point, Tim, this is without a teacher. Yes, it's without a teacher. So does 2-hour self-monitoring AI tutoring, does it really actually achieve the academic awareness that all kids need? And then does the rest of the school day then being applied to, like, in the mention of the one partner here, is it Prequel, you know, life skills? That concerns me a little bit too, because, well, wait, life skills? Like, which life skills? There's all that. But I do like the potential to say, I want to know more. So it's just one of those, I really want to know more, because, Johnny, I'm actually 100% with you, because if this is something for some of those kids who are really saying, as you're saying, actually engaged by telling us how angry and disengaged they are, and in fact, that being its form of engagement, if this could give us an opportunity for kids like that to go, you know what? I get it now. I feel it. And it, you know, it reminds me too a lot. And I know we got to get to the end here where we got to kind of close this show, but it also reminds me of the conversation we just had on Saturday with the 100 Gardens people about those kids that they saw that they reached who traditional schooling wasn't there for them. And so, you know, I'm trying to look at two-hour learning in the frame of 100 Gardens, of, you know, great books curriculum that, as you said, for different learners, there are different ways to achieve really successful results. I don't know. I know, John, you got a little bit there and could kind of close this up and then go for it, though.
All right, Tim, take off your headphones because I can't. You know, we're going to close the show up here soon, but I got to come back to the fact that for every single teacher and student out there right now, we've brought this up on the show, and we're going to keep reporting on it and keep saying what we mean by it. You know, and Randy Weingarten, AFT president, talked about the dangers of making our classrooms a battleground for politics, and not just politics in general, but extreme politics. And an example of that, and just to acknowledge this, this is a kind of condition that students and teachers in this country right now are faced with, is that classrooms have become a battleground for the aggressive political agenda of extreme policies. That's a fact right now. They are impacting human rights and children's rights. And if we need to exemplify that, there's a story coming out of an 11-year-old in Texas, Jocelyn Rojo Carranzas, who took her life, understandably, possibly because students were bullying her about ICE coming to get her family. So, you know, my extreme condolences to her family. Busted Pencils here, recognizing that when children, all behavior is a form of communication, right? And this is an extreme, like, behavior. This is extreme loss for her community, for her family, but for educational community writ large. This is the weight of things that teachers and students are going through right now. So let's continue to talk about education. Let's continue to support public education and democracy. And let's also remember that these are heavy times. So take care of yourself, take care of one another, and don't be gaslit by the fact that it's important to talk about these things, especially around the fact that our classrooms have become a battleground for some very extreme politics, and that no child in the world should be faced with having to navigate that. So big condolences and big hugs from Busted Pencils to that community in Texas and to teachers everywhere who are holding it down and making sure that they are safe and that their students are safe. And now it's time for your moment of zen. While some people think that dissent is unpatriotic, I would argue that dissent is the highest form of patriotism.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom and for grabbing podcasts like this one and other special Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website or wherever you get your pods. Hey, and don't forget to find Class in Session on Wednesday with guests Chris Hall, who's doing some amazing educational technologies, Free Throws and Face-Offs on Friday, and catch Busted Pencils live at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.